ராமாயணம் பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ருக்நாத் ஹாய நாத் ஹாய சீதாய பதே நமஹ. யுத்தகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 60. கும்பகர்ண ரவுஸ்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஹிஸ் ஸ்லீப். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Ravana entered Lanka. He turned back again and again, for he was afraid that the arrows of Rama might chase him even there. He was shorn of his pride and his heart was troubled mightily. Like an elephant pursued by a lion, like a serpent pursued by Garuda, he was defeated by Raghuvira the mighty and was put to disgrace. Wonder of wonders, arrows like these, I never dreamt that there were any such. They blazed like the rod of Brahma. They blinded one with their lightning splendor. This thought came upon him again and again and made his heart heavier with sorrow. He reclined on his throne of purest gold and spoke to the Rakshasas around. All my tapas, laid up with indescribable effort and trouble, has now gone to waste. I who put to rout again and again the gods, the asuras and Indra himself, have now met with defeat and disgrace at the hands of a puny mortal, is it not? The terrible curse that Brahma had laid upon me in the past, would it go for nothing? He said, fear and danger comes to you from men, and those words have proven true right now. I prayed that I should not meet my death at the hands of gods, Danavas, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pannagas, and the others. That much and no more. But I counted not men along with them. They were too insignificant in my estimate. In the far past, Anaranya, the king of the Ikshvaku race, was defeated and slain by me. His last words were, wretch, meanest of the Rakshasa race, willful and wicked. There comes in my line a mighty hero who will slay in fair fight yourself, sons, kith and kin, and the entire Rakshasa brood. Now this Rama, the son of Dasharatha, has he taken human shape to send me to my death? When I laid violent hands on Vedavati of peerless chastity, she has laid upon me a dreadful curse. I will be your fate. And to make good her word, has she come back as Sita, the daughter of King Janaka? Parvati, Nandi, Rambha, the daughter of Varuna, these four were endowed with extraordinary might of tapas. The words will not grow fruitless. I should ponder deeply on these points and take measures to defeat my foe. Let all our Rakshasas guard the inner fortifications, towers and the houses adjoining them. Kumbhakarna, my brother, is of matchless might and strength. He extinguishes the pride of the gods and the asuras, and he is now sunk in deep sleep through the curse of Brahma. Awake him! Sometimes he sleeps on free of care through 9 or 6 or 7 or 8 months. But on the other hand, sleep does not visit my tired eyes. Every step I take is foiled. My plans go for nothing, and care and anxiety lie heavy in my heart. It is only some 9 days ago that he was present at our council chamber before he went to his sleep. So it is easy for us to rouse him. What do we lack since we have such a man of might as he? He is a past master in battle. He towers like a lofty peak on the mountain of the Rakshasa race itself. He will slay out of hand in a moment Rama, Lakshmana and the monkeys. Like unto the army that is filled with enthusiasm and courage at the sight of the commander on the field of battle, our Rakshasa forces have but to catch sight of this crest jewel of the Rakshasa race on the battlefield to grow in strength and courage and energy. But it is a pity he is not conscious of his own greatness and spends his intellect in small things and delights in long sleep. Else he would have achieved many a deed of fame and valor. I have been put to disgrace sorely in this dreadful battle. If Kumbhakarna were awake, I have no call to be anxious. Alas, it is a pity that I have to rouse him from his sleep. What shall I do? I see no other way. I am beset by these troubles. I am put to disgrace. I have a brother like unto the king of the gods in strength and valor. Yet I grieve without receiving any kind of assistance from him. So take the necessary steps to rouse him as soon as you can. Thereupon, the servants of Ravana were at a loss to find means to rouse Kumbhakarna at the wrong time. They took themselves to his palace with heavy hearts. Yet they resolved to carry out the orders of Ravana and partook plentifully of flesh and bloom, that they may be fully equipped with the might and power to rouse him. They made ready mountainous heaps of flesh, cakes, perfumes, garlands, as also drinks and incense. The cave where the Rakshasa lay asleep was one yojana square. The gate was correspondingly large and spacious. The building was very skillfully constructed. The perfume that he was adorned with carried itself very, very far. The gale rushing from his nostrils blew them out of the cave again and again. Yet they were mighty men and stood firm and made their way into the cave with great difficulty. Many a platform, large and broad, was erected within it. And they beheld him extended at his length, with his limbs tossed about in frightful disorder, like a huge mountain toppled over. They were sore afraid and gathered together to take measures to rouse him from his sleep. His body was covered all over with hair, long and hard like lofty trees. Like a huge serpent, mad with fury, he lay there breathing freely. The thunder of his snoring brought terror to the hearts of all creatures. His form and features were dreadful to behold, even when he lay passively in the arms of sleep. His nostrils were like huge mountain caves. His mouth was large and spacious like the netherworld Patala. The fat and blood that trickled down from his mouth smelled awfully all around. He was adorned with a crown, armlets, garlands, and flowers. He lay in sound sleep, entirely unconscious of what became of his body and limbs. The Rakshasa servants heaped up before him huge mounds of flesh of stags, bulls, oxen, and boars, like Mount Meru, and vast jugs and casks of strong drinks to wash it down when he should come out of his sleep. They placed by his side jars of blood and liquors, adorned him with fine sandal paste, threw garlands over his shoulders, and threw perfumes on him, so as to give a sweet and pleasant aspect all around. Then all joined and roared like the rumbling of clouds. They blew huge conches like unto the moon in brightness. Finding that the efforts were in vain, they were enraged and kept up roaring frightfully without a break. They shook him, rolled him, struck at him with open palms. The sounds of martial music, the sounds of servant hitting the Rakshasa, shouting like lions to rouse him, spread over Lanka. Birds were sore afraid at it and ran in all directions, seeking relief from it. Yet it followed them. They flew high in the sky, yet it chased them even there. They fell down on the earth in a faint. The Rakshasa hero of mountainous bulk of body did not come out of his sleep for all these. The servants were mightily angry that they had nothing in return for their pains and trouble, and hit him until they were tired with wooden bars, iron bars, maces, blocks of stone, mountain peaks, and lofty trees. They hit him with their hands and fists. Yet Kumbhakarna was none the worse for it, nor was his sleep disturbed. Those Rakshasas were no weaklings, but they could not stand before rushing breath from his nostrils. Then those servants of dreadful valor made other preparations and banded themselves in a group of 10,000 and kept up a continuous uproar on the martial music, and those servants of Ravana with bodies of the hue of Kalurium mountains found that for all their shouts and roars and blows from all sides, he was none the worse, and he did not come out of his sleep, devised other dreadful measures to effect their purpose. Countless horses, camels, and elephants were struck with rods, whips, and goads, and lashed to fury and driven over him. All the instruments of martial music were sounded with the utmost vehemence and force possible. Whips of iron tied to huge posts and wooden bars were freely used on his limbs and mercilessly. The roar of it filled the town of Lanka, and the hills and forests around it trembled in affright. But Kumbhakarna was not in the least roused from his sleep. Then they struck and sounded thousands of huge war drums with golden rods at once. But that Rakshasa, thanks to the curse of Brahma, sunk deeper and deeper into the arms of sleep and was utterly dead to the world. Thereat, the Rakshasas were beside themselves with wrath. Some hit him with their fists, some stabbed him, some sounded huge drums, some roared until they were hoarse, some uprooted the hairs on his face, some bit at his ears, some poured countless jars of ice-cold water into his ears, but he moved not a hairbreadth through this terrible forest of his sleep. Some strong men, expert in the use of swords and sticks, hit him again and again on his head, chest and hands. Huge maces covered with leather and strongly bound with ropes and spike all over were in play over him from all sides without rest or interval. But there was not even any touch of feeling or sensation on his body. Then, as a last resource, they drove thousands of huge elephants over his body. Then and then alone was there some vestige of sensation over his body. He came out of his sleep somewhat and thought that some vermin were crawling over him. Then the Rakshasas took advantage of it and struck him again and again with all their might with lofty trees and mountain tops to bring him back to consciousness. But he made nothing of it and was angry at them for rousing him from his sleep in such an unseemly hour. Then fear touched him when he thought of the weighty reason that induced them to rouse him thus. Dreadful hunger caught him in his grip. He stretched his hands and legs and sat up. He flung out his arms, long like huge serpents, hard like mountains, and strong like their peaks. He opened his frightful mouth like unto the mouth of the ocean fire Badava and yawned dreadfully. Then his mouth, like unto the dark netherworld Patala, took on the look of the sun rising on the top of the Mount Meru. Kumbhakarna indulged in his yawn and woke up. Then that Rakshasa of illimitable strength breathed fiercely, and the sound thereof was like the thunderstorms that blew from lofty mountains. As he sat there, his body decked with gold and gems resembled a black cloud bank, discharging its refreshing rains at the end of summer when lines of cranes surround it. His eyes, cruel like blazing fires, rolled fiercely all over like lambent lightnings. He was lashing himself into fury at being roused before his time. They boded danger and destruction to others like the planets Saturn and Mars. Then the Rakshasas drew his attention to the huge heaps of food, flesh and cakes that were placed before him, ready for his consumption. He devoured hills of flesh to calm his dreadful hunger and drank correspondingly to slake his thirst. That was not enough for him, so he drained vessels beyond count, filled with liquor and fat. Then those servants noted that his hunger and thirst were appeased, and he was satisfied and in a pleasant mood. So they came before him, but slowly and with fear in their hearts, at rousing him at the wrong time. They dared not appear before him till then. Now they threw themselves at his feet and stood round him in reverence and respect. His eyes were yet partially closed, heavy with sleep. He gazed around intently and caught sight of the Rakshasas sent by Ravana. He was surprised to find at his being roused so suddenly, since he was not used to it at any time. He accosted the Rakshasas graciously and said, "What made you rouse me with so much trouble to you? Is our majesty well and happy, or has fear got him in its grip? You have roused me from my sleep so quickly, and that makes me infer that there is some danger hanging over my brother from a foe. This very moment I will free him from it. I will thrash down Mahendra from his lofty seat. I will destroy Agni beyond recognition. My brother has some weighty reasons for thus rousing me from my pleasant slumbers. So let me have the truth of it." Thus did Kumbhakarna demand of them reasons with eyes red with wrath. Then Yupaksha, the minister, joined palms of reverence over his head and spoke humbly, Lord, there is no fear to you from the gods or the asuras. Puny mortals that we passed over as insignificant have now worked great evil to us. Daityas and Danavas have never troubled us thus, nor were we so much afraid of them as now. Monkeys of mountainous bulk have laid siege to Lanka, and the very air itself finds it impossible to pass through them. Raghuvira causes us to tremble with fear, even he who is wroth at us for having carried away Sita. Once before, a puny monkey set on fire our capital that none dared to set fire and reduce it to ashes. It destroyed Aksha, the prince, and other heroes with their armies. Our ruler of Lanka, the terror of all the worlds and the sole monarch of our race, has been put to shame in battle by Rama. His car was shattered, the horses were killed, and their driver too. His bow was broken in his hand, and his armor cloven on his body. His crown was shattered to bits, and he escaped with his life. He might be the great-grandson of Lord Brahma, but what matters it to Raghuvira, who is invested with the splendor and brilliance of millions of suns? The gods, the daityas, the danavas afflicted us not so much. Our majesty escaped with his life from the battlefield, and it is a source of great wonder to us. At the news of the defeat of his brother in battle, Kumbhakarna rolled his eyes round fiercely with wrath, and like the rumbling of huge cloud banks, cried, Hear you, Yupaksha! I will not meet my brother before I have wiped out of existence Rama and Lakshmana and the entire monkey hosts. I will give a feast sumptuous to all the Rakshasas of Lanka over the flesh of monkeys. I reserve for myself the blood of Rama and Lakshmana and their flesh. Thereat, Mahodara, the Rakshasa hero, noted with pleasure that the cruel nature of Kumbhakarna took a keener edge through pride and wrath. He joined his palms in reverence and said, Lord, get at the desire of his majesty, ponder deeply over the pros and cons of it, and deal with the foes as you will. Kumbhakarna assented to it and started to go to the council hall of Ravana. Then Rakshasas adorned him with garments, ornaments, sandal paste, flowers, and garlands. Some went in advance to Ravana and cried, Your Majesty, your brother Kumbhakarna has been roused from his sleep. He has appeased his hunger and thirst, and he is on his way here to wait upon you. Ravana was mightily pleased thereat and replied, I too am very eager to meet him. Let him be brought here with the honor and respect due to him. They went back to Kumbhakarna and said, Lord, the ruler of the Rakshasa world desires to meet you. Proceed there and bring peace and happiness to his heart. He accepted the invitation of his brother. That was almost a command with him. He came down from his bed, washed his face, and ordered the servants to bring him rare drinks that will add vigor and strength to his naturally rare constitution. They placed before him vessels filled with various kinds of rare and wonderful liquors. He drank 2,000 of them, and it had some slight effect on him. His strength and splendor increased thereby, and he was glad of heart. He gave one the idea of Yama, who took upon himself to destroy all creation on the day of dissolution. He took his way on foot to the palace of Ravana, followed by the bands of Rakshasas. The earth trembled in affright, being unable to bear his weight. Like unto the sun irradiating the earth with his rays, he walked along the high road, illuminating the space around. The folded palms of reverence of the subjects formed the garlands thrown over his shoulders, and he entered the palace of the Lord of the Rakshasas, like Mahendra entering the audience hall of Brahma. As he walked along the royal road, the monkey hosts, camped around Lanka, cried, Like unto a huge mountain scraping the sky above and causing the earth to quake with his steps, who is this huge monster? Dire fear filled their hearts thereat. Some of them took shelter with Raghuvira, to whom all beings looked for compassion and safety. Some fell down utterly confused. Some ran here and there to hide themselves. Some sat themselves, demented as it were, with fear. Adorned with a crown set with gems and huge as a lofty mountain peak, he came along as if he would invade the orbit of the earth with his splendor. At that wondrous sight, the monkey hosts were utterly dispirited with fear and ran here and there to hide themselves. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhananjaya Sarvabhoumaya Mangalam.